This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Mama. I'm Megan Oftermat, and I'm here with Sam Sumpter at FUV. Sam, we've been talking all week about how much we love this record, and their set did not disappoint. It was so full of life and storytelling and energy. I know that you are obsessed, so tell me what you love about Mama so much.
I was about to say, I am obsessed with this record and this band. I am a sucker for storytelling, and this album, Welcome to My Blue Sky, is a time capsule, a travelogue of their tour back in summer 2022, documenting the highs, the lows, the mistakes that they made, and it's just really honest. They push themselves to be honest and to examine themselves as well and the mistakes that they've made. And it also just rocks. It's a really cool record, and they're really sweet people to boot.
Yeah. What are we going to hear first in this session?
First off, we're going to hear what I think might be my favorite song on the record, at least right now, I Want You, Fever.
Out.
That was I Want You Fever from Mama here on WFUV. I'm Sam Sumter. So stoked to be here with Ita, Allegra, and Aaron, three-fourths of Mama, to talk about and celebrate the new album, Welcome to My Blue Sky. Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
Amazing.
Feels kind of surreal.
Let's start just by jumping into that first song, because you've said that something really special happened when you were writing I Want You Fever, and that it felt like stepping into a new era for Mama that is kind of encapsulated on this record. What is this new era?
I think it's just a progression, like a natural growth for where we were in the last record. I think that we have plenty more inspiration to draw from, not just what we've experienced, but also just listening to new music and exploring new things. But the song itself, I think, just defined how we wanted to approach the record. We had a bunch of songs before that just didn't really feel quite right. And then Fever came around and we were like, oh, okay, this is the direction we want to go in.
That magic moment where you are in the moment, you're creating, and you just have that epiphany.
Totally.
There's few things better as a creative than that feeling, and then that launch into kind of a flow state. It seems like this album was really kind of a tour diary of sorts, like a tour time capsule of a really special time. So let's go back in time. I think it was summer 2022, right, that y'all were on tour. Tell me a little bit about that and the experiences that informed this record.
Well, we had just released our last album, Household Name, and we went on tour for two consecutive months, I think a month after our album was released. So it was kind of our first official tour and kind of the first time we were on the road where people knew who we were or were learning who we were. So I don't know, everything felt very bright and new and exciting. And we just had a really fun time with a very special group of people. And Ita and I made some mistakes. Those mistakes informed a lot of the past 3 years for us. I feel like every time we sat down to write, we kept on going back to things that had happened during that period of our lives. So we kind of just leaned into it. This is what we need to write about. We need to chronicle this time in our lives.
Ita, you've said that this album is about learning how to confess the hard things. So obviously, as artists, honesty is imperative, but also we're human. You know, you're worried about feedback, people's feelings. How do you kind of fight through an urge to self-censor and say the hard things? And what's the reward waiting on the other side when you do that?
I think a lot of the hardest things, it's just when you have to tell someone that you really care about something that they really don't want to hear. In reference to our record, I think that's what makes everything hard and just felt powerful coming out the other side with Allegra and being able to go through that together. It's just stuff that you don't want to say to people and just knowing that you're going to hurt them. And that's just really difficult. But I think it's important when you need to put your happiness, first. I think it's really easy to not do that. And I had a tendency in the past to not do that. And so I think that was kind of the biggest learning experience, was actually being honest, not just with other people, but with yourself about what you need and what you want.
Yeah, that takes bravery for sure.
Totally. And couldn't have done it without you guys.
Well, I think that kind of flows nicely into the next song that we're going to talk about, Rodeo, which is about infidelity on the road, written from the perspective of your romantic partners. So let's go ahead and hear that one now. We've got Rodeo from Mama on WFUV.
Lost count of the days that you've been gone. Left alone, I don't wanna be back here. You're on your own. Do you feel bad for what you did? See?
such a good one. So what was it like writing this song from the perspective of your exes to kind of step into the shoes of the people that you love and kind of take on yourselves?
I think it was really necessary for us because at that point in the writing process, we hadn't really critiqued ourselves yet. Or I guess we had in kind of like a, I don't know, when you're critiquing yourself through your own lens and your own like perspective of yourself, you're going to maybe gloss over some things. So I think we tried really hard to kind of, yeah, be as critical as possible. And also, I think it was kind of a healing thing. It was a healing exercise to think about the person whose heart you broke, how they are digesting that and how they're dealing with that. And it felt kind of therapeutic to do that. And also, I think to be able to honor the people whose hearts we broke and to give them their own song and their own voice on the record was really important to us because we love those people and we hurt them. And that was kind of the least we could do for them.
Totally.
I think, yeah, because perspective is so interesting, right? I think it's even like if you ever see a screenshot of your text messages with someone and all of a sudden your messages are on the left instead of the right. And it's like you read them differently when it's coming from just the other side. And we only have our own vantage point. So doing that, and I think that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful gift that you gave yourselves and that you gave these people that you care about. Have they heard the song yet?
Definitely not. No, definitely not for me.
My person has. We were at a bar, so I don't think he really heard the lyrics, to be honest.
Yeah, this is a bop.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
Well, we're talking about, you know, getting through things with your bandmates. And I think one really cool thing about this band, one of many, is the fact that Ida, Allegra, y'all have been writing songs together, I mean, since high school. So in a way, I feel like y'all's discography, it's like a collaborative diary. What's it been like to experience and process and write about such formative years together?
I don't know. It's beautiful. Allegra is my best friend and like my sibling. It's a very rare dynamic. And like, I think when we were first starting, it was like a way for our friendship to grow and like how we could kind of communicate things with each other without necessarily like saying something or like bringing an idea of a song and then like being like, I know I want to talk about this. And then we would have conversations. That's kind of how I feel like a lot of it starts is like, we're like, what do we want to write about? And then it's like, we'll just like talk about this one thing happened and it was crazy. And it's a really rare and beautiful relationship that I do not take for granted. Like it will never come again. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's also kind of been like a lifeline for us in a lot of ways. We've been best friends for 10 years. And, you know, friendships obviously have multiple phases and like things ebb and flow, communication, closeness, quality time. And I feel like writing together has been the one thing that's always been the constant. Yeah. It's never really changed. We only get better at it.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Better at communicating when we're writing. So that has kept us together. I mean, 100%. Not like that's the only thing that's kept us together, but it's been a really special way to like have this forever bond in our friendship.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely really unique.
Well, vulnerability is so important in art and in relationships. So it makes sense that kind of like drawing on that would strengthen your creative and your personal bonds. And then the record was, in one sense, a DIY endeavor. Aaron, you produced it. Can we talk a little bit about the making of the record? And I'm sure you're even more invested than you would be because it's your band.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because I make records for other people, but making a record for my own band is like a whole different experience. Yeah, it's cool because you get to sort of be there from the beginning and sort of think about how you want it to sound from like the songwriting perspective first, which I think doesn't always happen when you're doing other people's records. It's like a lot of prep and like a lot of preparing and thinking about how you want to approach it. And I think this record was really special, especially compared to the last one. Like, I feel like a lot of the times we were talking about making this one, it was sort of like, the last record was kind of like pop songs presented as rock songs. And then I feel like this one's kind of the opposite, where it's these like pop songs, but presented more as, or these rock songs, but presented more as pop songs. I thought a lot about that going into recording. And a lot of the recording for this one was done as a live band to start. Like, all the basic tracks are all of us in a room together and then just building from there. And sort of building this world around like the lyrics and the songs that that Ethan Allegra wrote to start off. You know, it's such like a vivid image, and then trying to present that through how the record sounds is like such like a balancing act. So being able to do it from the start, it's like such a different experience that like I really treasure doing that for my own band.
Yeah, and I think going in as a live band too, like it makes it feel like the energy, and it's like it's kind of a really organic thing when you do it that way.
And it's more cathartic. I think we wanted that experience, like a very cathartic experience doing it. Whereas I think the last record was a lot of it was about perfection. And it was like our first record on a label. And we were like, okay, like how perfect sounding can we make it? And this one was more like how much can we execute it in terms of like the sound of it being representative of the songs themselves. I think it was a lot of what we were trying to find.
Was it kind of hard to have additional perspective? Because I feel like sometimes when you're so in, when you're so deep in a project that it's like, can't see the forest for the trees or whatever that expression is.
Yeah.
You need a bird's eye view. Nature analogy.
No, it is. I definitely went the craziest on this album, like in terms of mentally. Particularly like when I mixed it, I just kind of like went nuts. Like I was just like really anxious and stressed about it. But it happens, you know, and I'm just particularly close to this because it's like all our music. So finding perspective is like the hardest thing about producing. And it's the hardest, and it's even harder when it's your own band. Because I think when I produce other people's records, like you are supposed to be like the added member that gives the outside perspective. But then being a part of the band, like it's hard to like step in and out of that role. And it was particularly hard because we tracked all together. Like I was playing bass and producing, like that was like a challenge that I hadn't experienced because we just didn't do the right last record that way.
Very cool. Well, now listening back on this album, that is again such a travelogue / time capsule, like all the highs and lows and magic and madness of tour. What's it like to listen back on that? Do you see the sights? Do you smell the van?
Honestly, it just makes me feel really like proud of us. I don't know. That time period is like so fun and weird to look back on just because it's like, we really just like freaked it. Like, so I don't know. And like, we learned so much, like, about even just like, besides all the emotional stuff, like, we learned a lot about like how to tour and how to like treat your body. Like, honestly, if I'm thinking about like that time period, I'm thinking about the fact that we like, we're like crumbling, but not knowing it yet until after 2 months. And then you're like, oh my God, like, we look back at photos and we're like, we were so youthful.
I've aged 10,000 years
after 2 months. Yeah, but no, I feel like listening back to the record, it just, yeah, every song, like, I can kind of place where we were, and like, it's just nice. It's nice. I'm just really proud of it, honestly. It's like the most proud I've ever been about anything that we've ever touched. So
the record has an aura to it,
totally,
like, you know. And totally. I hope that comes across to other people.
I get really emotional when I listen to it every time.
I mean, I can only imagine because I know even how nostalgic music is as a listener. You know, you hear a song that takes you back to a time, but I can't imagine listening to songs that you wrote that would take you back to a time.
Yeah, I definitely feel that level of like nostalgia. Like there are certain songs more than others. I feel like, whoa, I can't believe that was 3 years ago. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah, which is also kind of crazy when, like, we were writing lyrics around content that took place, like, years prior, because we kind of had to, like, tap back into that. But the thing is that, like, for some reason, it just, like, was really easy to tap back into that.
Like, yeah, you time traveled in a
sense.
Totally,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the album title, Welcome to My Blue Sky, which I love. Very poetic. Came from kind of an unlikely source, right? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we were on tour. Shocker. And I think we were going to Houston because I remember we wrote the song in Houston.
Yeah.
Weezer tour, right?
Yeah. So we must have been, I don't know, maybe coming from Alabama or something. We were somewhere in the South and we were at a gas station and there was a sign outside of the gas station that said, Welcome to My Blue Sky. And I thought that was so beautiful and it just really captured me. And then I realized that that's the name of like the gas company. So I guess it's not as poetic because of that.
Maybe.
Yeah. But it was very evocative to me. And I immediately, when we got back in the van, I texted Ita, this is such a cool line. Can we write a song from it? And we just were texting each other lyric ideas. And then I was like, I might have a chord progression that works for this. And then by the time we got to the venue, we rewrote the song in like 15 minutes, showed it to Aaron. Aaron was like, okay, change this one part and then put this here. And then the song was done. And it really has not been changed since that first day that we wrote it. And that was put on the table as an album title and nothing else was ever considered after that. We knew that that's what it was. And I think it can mean so many different things and it feels personal, but it also feels anyone can interpret it to their own experience as well. And since we wrote all these songs about touring, the idea of a vast blue sky is so fitting and it's the perfect visual for the record. And then we got all excited doing all these blue visuals for it.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
And then the last song that we're going to have y'all play is about one specific place you hit on tour, Ohio All the Time. So it's funny because I was listening to the song and I was doing my research and I was all prepared to come in and be like, well, you know, not very many people write songs about Ohio. And then it turns out a lot of people have written songs about Ohio, ranging from Modest Mouse to The National to Bone Thugs and Harmony. And now I feel like everyone has to have an Ohio song. So tell me about y'all's.
Well, our personal favorite Ohio song is Carry Me Ohio, I think. It was slightly inspired by that one. But yeah, again, that tour that we have referenced, we were in Ohio for very important plot points.
Yeah.
There were really important scenes that happened in Ohio. Sandusky at the Great Wolf Lodge being one of them. Anyway, we just, yeah, we were in Ohio a lot and some crazy things happened there. So we wrote a song about that, and the lyrics are very specific to about 10 people in the world, and if you're not one of those 10 people, you don't know what it means. So with the YouTube comments,
oh, yeah,
you don't know what the lyrics mean. Yeah. An empty bottle is not a reference to a Veruca Salt song, just putting that out there.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a song that is so fun for us, I think, because it's so presented on paper. It's like, yeah, just like some fun words and whatever, but like every line literally is like an Easter egg. And like Allegra said, there's probably just like a handful of people that would actually be able to clock that, and that's exciting because I'm like, I wonder what you're thinking. That's like what's so fun about that song to me, honestly. It's just like all the little bits and bobs that we threw in there.
Well, it's like inside jokes are the most fun thing in the world. So just have a song of those that's like you and your people, you know?
Also, it's kind of an inside joke with our band because we always end up in Ohio at like the worst, the lowest points of our lives. Like, we can't escape it, especially Columbus.
Oh my god.
No so, hate to Ohio.
Yeah,
we
no
always
hate
have the worst time there.
No.
But that's like context.
But it's
for the
not
tour, I guess.
It's not the state's fault whatsoever.
It's a personal problem.
Yeah. It's a personal issue. Yeah. But that is definitely a bit with us every time. Yeah. And this next tour we're starting in Ohio. So that was
redemption.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, this is a collection of stories from your tour and feelings and memories. Was there anything that happened that you were like, okay, we cannot put this on the album. We're not even touching this one.
When I tell you I have a camcorder and I filmed, like that footage should never see the light of day. There were like, yeah, there were a lot of crazy things that happened on this tour.
Yeah, I guess all you really need to know is like the fact that, okay, like when I was saying earlier, like we were not equipped for touring, like we didn't understand what like touring does to your body. Like we were all basically absolutely getting near blackout drunk every single night. So just do with that what you will.
I think there's also like you have to kind of hold on to a little bit of secrecy, or I don't know, we bared as much as we could, but we couldn't really bear everything out of
respect
for
other
people.
Yeah.
Certainly no shortage of material. When you're not on tour, when you're here in the city, where do you find inspiration?
I'm like so over Brooklyn, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like we've been here for a minute. I don't know if like Brooklyn gives us inspiration.
Yeah.
I think like our lives are really, we're blessed with some really cool experiences. And I think that just like, even when we're not on tour, we have fun. We find things to do. And like, I think that is more so like, it could be anywhere too, where we would get our inspiration. Brooklyn is great though. You know, it's nice to come home to your bed and stuff.
Yeah, we live here for a reason.
Yes.
But we also like don't find identity here, I feel like, necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the scenery of New York doesn't necessarily inspire me personally.
Doesn't inspire the music that we make that much. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I agree.
I think it's all about when we leave New York. That's when we find our inspiration. And then when we come back to New York, it's like, okay, how do we harness that inspiration and like make art out of it?
But there's always that one moment. This is so separate from even writing songs, but there's that one moment when like, you'll find yourself in Manhattan at nighttime.
Amazing. Well, I think more touring ahead for this album. Who knows what albums will be made out of this coming tour? Are there any songs in particular that you're especially excited to play live?
I'm really excited to play Welcome to My Blue Sky live.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Bottle Blonde is one that I'm pretty stoked to see how that comes together in a live setting.
Yeah, there's a lot of ones on this record that I feel like there's a lot of like breadth on this record. And there's a lot of like faster, heavier ones that I think are really fun to play. Like Last Kiss and Rodeo are always fun.
Columbus is going to love it.
They better.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. It is truly a beautiful record. I love it so much, and I am so, so excited for y'all.
Thank you. Welcome to my blue sky.
Thanks for sharing your blue sky.
Oh, man. Thank you.
From Mama, it's Ohio All the Time on WFUV. That was Mama performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Polyvinyl Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Matthew Ellersick, James Higgins, and Sophia Derrick Palumbo. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Catherine Sherman and Bayan Mendrick. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your new favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.